Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, listeners. Whoever, wherever you might be, if anybody is listening, welcome to another, for the first time in a long time, scheduled at the right time episode of Shut Up and Listen. I'm your host, The Voice, broadcasting live from New York City on this July 2nd, 2015. Okay, so it's just a couple of things I want to talk about here. Didn't prepare anything. It's just a few things here and there. Well, one of them is an event I participate in every year. I don't participate in. I attend every year. Now, for anybody who wants to call in, the number is 714-816-4604. Once again, that's 714-816-4604. You know, it's been some pretty good weather. It had been pretty good weather up until this weekend when I went to my annual, as I call it, jump start to the summer and the summer events and the things I do during the summer. It was a good weekend up until that point. And what I attend every year to start for me and my spouse, the queen, as a neighbor of mine always calls my wife. We generally start the summer and the summer activities off with going upstate to New York, Saratoga, New York, the capital region, which is one of the regions I like upstate. But we go up there to the Fryhofer's Jazz Festival. It used to be called the Saratoga Jazz Festival. Some people still refer to it as the Saratoga Jazz Festival because it's there in Saratoga Springs, New York, at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. And it's a beautiful venue. It's a great getaway for the weekend. I usually go up on Friday night, and I don't leave until Monday. You know, the events start at on Saturday. But I like to be up there the night before, you know, any shopping we want to do, any things we want to pick up or whatever, and just be there and relax without having to make that trip upstate from here out of New York City, because, you know, it's close to a three-hour drive getting up there. And I don't want to get up early in the morning and start setting up just to get up there in time to do that. And, well, look at that. I'm offline again. You know, this thing can really be a problem at times here, you know, working with the router and all. But it's okay. I'll be back online in a jiffy. So as it is, I'm sorry, I wanted to divert. I don't want to divert. So anyway, as it is, we were up there. And I'm back on track again talking, not necessarily back online, but I'm back on track again talking. And the good part about it is this year I had gotten the surprise, I think it was back in March or at some point. My youngest daughter, her and one of her friends, her best friend now from high school, they came up because it turns out, you know, her best friend had always mentioned she'd like to go up. And, you know, they knew, and naturally my daughters know, they go up. I've always tried to see if they wanted to come up with us to the Jazz Festival because a lot of families do come up there. And, you know, it's a lot of family gatherings as well as a lot of friends gathering, you know, and naturally couples, boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, just everybody. Like any festival, like any outdoor musical venue would pretty much be. And, you know, because of that and due to that, I was pleased that she was, you know, coming along. And they came up and they had brought quite a bit of stuff themselves from the supermarkets and things that they had brought up too. We had told them how we take things. But, you know, the funny part was we had said this year, my wife and I, we weren't taking as much as we normally would take to the jazz festival, you know. I mean, we used to go with any number of people, and we would all, you know, drive, and we would meet. We all stayed at the same hotel, and we went and set up our canopies and all of that, and, you know, set up tables, and there's an abundance of food and everything, and then you take it all back down in the evening and take it back to your hotel, and then you get up the next morning and do the same thing all over again. Now, that gets a little tiresome, especially as you get older. And I had talked to, you know, my wife about that too, and it said pretty much, hey, look, this is getting tired, and we're getting older, and we're doing this all the time, and I don't always feel like about 6 hours later taking stuff back down again, or, you know, and then putting it back up, or a little maybe longer than 6 hours maybe, and then going back to the hotel. And you see, now we have after performance evaluations, because up at Saratoga, which is where the racetrack is, and in New York, almost all the racetracks have now, guess what, casinos, because the casinos run the racetracks run, the racing commission, I should say, runs the casinos in New York. So now we generally will wind up after the day's performances are over and people are leaving the park, we wind up, as any number of other people do also, wind up in the casino. Yeah, that's where we will. We don't stay long on that Saturday night because we know on Sunday we're going to be getting back up and doing the same thing all over again. And, you know, we want to get there fairly early so we can get our usual spot. I don't know how many people, some people I do know, I recognize some people even if I don't know them, and they set up in the same spots all the time. And, you know, if somebody's in that spot, well, it's not yours. You can't complain. You just like to. And the spots we set up in, we like. But anyway, my daughter came along. She enjoyed it. The only thing that put a damper on it was something that put a damper on it literally. And that was the rain. Saturday, there were a few little light showers. And, of course, we had a canopy. We had a tarpaulin, all of that. And Sunday, as the broadcasters, the news broadcasters, the meteorologists had forecast, it rained a lot, off and on at times hard. I've been up there when there had been a slight shower and a brief shower here and there. Some people have been up when it has rained. This was the one time I was up when it rained harder and longer than it ever did before. So eventually, with the exception of people with canopies and tents up, and there were a lot of them, the grounds got fairly wet, or more than fairly wet, put it this way. With my darker type shoes on, you know, the ones that are so popular in the summer, spring and summer, walking through the grass and the water in some places coming up or stepping in puddles of water, I had to change socks 3 times there, you know, during that time. And I had also forgotten to bring a windbreaker because the temperature dropped down to the 60s, and that got a little chilly at times, so I had forgotten to bring a jacket. We had to run to, that night, a local 24-hour Walmart where I had to get one of the outdoor nylon rain jackets, which served its purpose very well. You know, so I was pleased with that. It's just that you hate to have to buy something that you already have, or something that you already have a few of. I had more than enough outerwear here that I could have brought. And, you know, at the event itself, where people generally dress from nicely casual to cool to laid back to comfortably outdoorsy, you know, you generally bring stuff to accommodate everything. I usually bring a jacket, even though I don't need it, but it doesn't hurt, so I had to buy one. But anyway, be that as it may, it rained a lot, and I hate the fact that I'm not enamored of the fact that for my daughter's first trip up there, it was rainy, but they enjoyed themselves. They had a ball, I have to admit. They enjoyed it, and My youngest daughter says she would do it again, depending on who's going to be performing up there. She's not a straight-up jazz fan, but the thing about it is you have performers that everybody knows, even non-jazz performers, because most jazz festivals have people who perform in the R&B genre, and usually the closing performers are somebody who are generally R&B based. And that's part of what will draw the crowds, and that's what I was leading up to, you know, as I talked more about this. Now, as always, the ambience was as good as usual. And the only thing is, I say, it's just the going back and forth, the raising the canopy up and taking it down and raising it up the next day. And I said, I'm not going to be bringing a lot of food next year. We said that last year, too, and we did bring less this year. You don't need to, because you got plenty of food concessions that sell some really great stuff. They sell really great stuff. Me, the main thing I buy there all the time is coffee, maybe 2-3 times during the course of the day, and I'm walking around with a cup of coffee. But, you know, as I said, my daughter said she would base it on who, you know, would be closing out at the jazz festival to determine whether she would come again. Now, me, I don't care who's performing because the atmosphere is so good. Like most of the people up there, they don't really care who's performing. It's up there just to be in the hang, which is what the area on the lawn is known as, the hang, the theme of the Saratoga or the Fire Office Jazz Festival is. Quote, it's all about the hang, unquote. And for me, that's what it is also, as it is for a good majority of the people up there. But you know something? Like as not, who the closeouts are can be seen in some of the crowd at the venue. And I noticed that last year. And I remember last year we were at the concert. I know Earth, Wind, and Fire was the closeout performers for Sunday night, even though there was a lot of jazz performers during the course of the day. I can't give you all the names. I keep copies of the lineups year after year after year after year. And, you know, who the closeout performers can be are actually, or what I'm trying to say better yet is, it does have an impact on sometimes some of the people that you will see at the festivals. Of course, that goes without saying. And I'll tell you why I'm saying what I'm saying in just a moment when I lead to that. Now, last year, I remember I had noticed a difference in some of the people there, that some of the people, I got the impression, just weren't there just to be at the jazz festival. You know, some of the people were clearly there for Earth, Wind, and Fire, just like some of the people clearly were there for Eddie Palmieri last year. You know, and I didn't see them any more. And sometime with the people and the atmosphere and the aura they have around, it could be sometime a slightly different dynamic than the people that you will see quite often at these weekend events. And I read, like I did this year, when I read in the papers up there, or go online and read the Albany Times Union, I think it is, after they review the jazz festival, you know, the following week after it's over on that Sunday night. You know, one of the colonists wrote, you know, he said it was obvious to him that some of the people clearly were there for Earth, Wind, and Fire. He's been writing this article for a long time and going to this event for a long time. And, you know, I had said, yeah, to me too, it has seemed that some of the people clearly were there for the closeout performer last year. This year, on Saturday night, the closeout performer was Frankie Beverly and Maze, whom I've always liked and who I enjoyed immensely at the closeout performer. I've known any number of people that have seen him live. I got a good friend of mine who I thought was going to make it to the Jazz Festival this year, but didn't. Was, you know, he had seen him live, you know, and I thought it was a very, very, very good. I was just glad to see the guy, you know. I thought his voice was gone when I saw him on TV once on a tribute to him, but there his voice was back. pretty much better than it was when I heard him on TV or when I saw him on TV. And anyway, the point I'm making about this is, and about who the closeout performers are, we were sitting in our seats, and we get good seats every year. Thank you very much. We have some good seats. And there was a female behind us with a guy. And my wife heard her. Cassandra Wilson was performing, somebody I had always wanted to see, too. I mean, Cassandra Wilson is legendary now, too, and that's a don't-miss person if you have an opportunity to see her. And she had been doing traveling, you know, and doing this tribute to Billie Holiday everywhere. And my wife heard her say that this female behind us, she was youngish, not young, youngish, like a former roundaway kind of girl type thing, you know, the deal, most of you, I'm sure, you know. And she said, I wish she would hurry up and get off the stage. And my wife turned around and looked. I didn't know that's what she had said. I just saw my wife turn around and look at her. And she said, sorry, miss. And my wife had said, I didn't fully hear. She was saying, oh, what's she looking at, or something to that effect. But the point I'm making is, now, she said she wished Cassandra Wilson would hurry up and get off the stage. Now, really, what jazz goers would say that about a performer who is already an icon? Already. So that shows sometimes, depending on who you're close on, don't get me wrong, the people are still nice there, the people are still cool there, but you will get, depending on who the closeouts are, those people who are there, and they have this different dynamic out in the public, this different personality out in the public from the general jazz festival-going audience. And, you know, and it tells you sometimes who's there only to see who. And who you get on some of the closeout or some of the non-jazz performances, the R&B bass performances, can determine some of the other crowd you get. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not ashamed to say, and I've said it before, and I'll tell anybody, and I'm not ashamed to say I like a jazz crowd more than I feel I would like an R&B crowd. And definitely more than I would like a hip-hop crowd. You know, this is a place, these are places, you know, you can go. You can leave your stuff in your tents or in your canopies or in your chairs or on your tarpaulins or blankets or whatever the hell you got there. You can leave this stuff unattended. Nobody's messing with this stuff. Nobody's messing with things. There's no confrontations. There's no arguments. This girl that we were talking, I'm talking about here, during the whole Frankie Beverly concert, she went up front. Security had to restrain her because she was headed all the way up to the stage, to the VIP pit, which we're sitting right behind. I told you we had pretty good seats there. But she was going up. They had to restrain her, you know, and send her back. Who the guy she was with back there, apparently, you know, he talked, he sounded aggravated at some point. I couldn't tell what he had said to her or whatever. And she danced during the entire Frankie, Beverly, and Maze set. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm talking about a set that lasted a good 90 minutes. And she danced straight through the whole time. And as I've said in conversation here after that, you can go to parties, you can go to clubs, you can go to dances, you can go anywhere, and you will never see anybody that dances straight through a whole set. Never, ever, 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 ever sitting down unless they are high on something, you know? I mean, really. And she never did sit down. Of course, by the time Frankie Beverly ended, the whole amphitheater, which is where he was performing there, the whole amphitheater was on its feet, and that's quite a few thousand people, and everybody was having a party. I mean, but we weren't all dancing during the whole entire set. This girl, this young woman, I guess she was young, she danced through the entire set. My wife said, boy, I hope she's not behind us because her hands were flailing all over the place. She was standing in the aisle beside me at times. And my wife said, I hope that she's not here for the next night. Well, apparently she wasn't. It seems to me, unless she came in and sit someplace else the next night, you have your seats assigned to you. But I'm fairly certain that they were there just to see Frankie Beverly. I never saw him in those seats at any other time for any of the other performances. And that's why I say I'm not ashamed to say I like a jazz crowd more than I feel I would like an R&B crowd. I got the same friend of ours didn't come to Saratoga this year. Always tells me to go on the Soul Train cruise or the Capitol Jazz cruise. But I'm not sure. Maybe that's an annoying thing to say. You know, my wife doesn't always agree with me saying that. But I'm not always sure I would like, you know, too much of the crowd. Now, you could just stick to yourself, you and your mate, whoever your mate is. But, you know, in all actuality, that's not fun on a cruise, you know, just the two of you. That's, you know, a lot of people may do it unless you're on a honeymoon. You know, you got this person you just met and you want to know, but that's not really a lot of fun. But I wasn't sure. I think I will eventually acquiesce and go on one of these things, you know, and I'll set that up for another time, or me and my wife will get our heads together and set this up at another time. But that's what we did for the weekend, and it was a good time. It was a good time, and I'm glad my daughter went. Now, the only thing missing is my other daughter going at some time. And now that I've talked about a little over 20 minutes about the Jazz Festival and about the type of people that are at them and why I like them and why I feel it's a good kickoff to the summer, because I try to get in a lot of musical venues during the summer, and actually I like a lot of cookouts, you know, things of that sort too. But I like to see a lot of live performances during the summer. R&B, jazz, anything. Especially places where I can run into parks and see things or go upstairs. I like that. Between bouts of running back and forth to North Carolina and things of that nature where the other house is. You know, I like going to the various musical venues. So that jump starts the summer, as I say. From this point on, I play it as it lays. Now, moving right along, I saw something on the news earlier. Well, last week, just before I went upstate. And I don't have the story, and I looked in the paper to see what more I could read about it. Something about, I think it dealt with Mayor de Blasio here in New York City. And some other measures to make apartments or more apartments smoke-free. Now, I'm a smoker, not a heavy smoker. I've never been up to a half pack a day in my life, much less a pack a day. I used to tell people I like my first cigarette at the end of the workday. I've been that way for decades. I started being that way shortly after I got out of the Army. But you know something? To do what it looks like they're trying to do, and that is to say make smoking illegal in New York City, period, anywhere, at any time, it's almost totalitarian, and it's still another way to make people feel repressed. New York, you know, in a survey, New York was considered the least free state. And a lot of that was, you know, due to no short or small effort by our former mayor, Mike Bloomberg, even though he's the mayor of New York City. But he had a long reach on influencing things, you know, across New York, you know, because the taxes on cigarettes went up so high here, it had to have an impact on the rest of the state to the point where they had to raise their prices as well. Now, there are smoke-free apartment buildings here, just like you go to hotels, and, you know, we always get smoke-free rooms. We always do. That's okay if I want to have a smoke at night, and like I say, yes, I do smoke. I don't know if that is, and people will look at me and view me with an aspect of condemnation or not, but yes, I do smoke. And like I said, I've never reached a half pack a day or anything as ridiculous as that or as ridiculously high as that even. But you got to the point now where smoking in a city park is illegal. I don't care if you're the one person in the park at 6 o'clock in the morning and nobody is around you or on the beach, and so the closest person, or at least the closest person smoking to another person, is 50 feet away. My God, how is that harming you? It's not like you go to the park and you have 20 people around you and they're all smoking at any given time of day or night that you go in the park. And the same thing holds true for the beaches, too. You're going to be on the beach and everybody laying around you and around you is smoking. I don't care how far away it is. It gets a little ridiculous. I've heard and read non-smokers who, non-smokers who express that same thing. Anyway, they're pushing, it seems like, for landlords to have that option, which they should have that option. Most people that they interviewed said whether they were smokers or not. Well, that's a personal choice in your house. That's a personal choice if you sit in your own home and can't smoke. I mean, then that's really going pretty much totalitarian, you know, to stop people from that choice in their own home or not. Now, what makes this ridiculous and what makes this contradictory, if such a law goes in effect, now you remember, what was it, last month, the month before last? You can have certain amounts of marijuana. You can have a certain amount of weed now and not be convicted. Okay. So it's legal to have weed, so it would be okay, I'm assuming, to smoke weed in an apartment if it's legal to have it. What's the point of it being legal to have it if you can't smoke it anywhere? Now, I know you're not allowed to smoke it in public. And I was looking at one of the boxing matches on HBO a couple of weeks ago, and Roy Jones Jr. and I think Jim Lampley and all, they were broadcasting the fight, and they talked about having to smell somebody smoking weed behind them somewhere there. And I say, now, this is in a public place, and they were lighting up. And the thing about lighting up there and smoking, I'm saying, so somebody felt free enough to light up weed, but if somebody lit a cigarette, does that mean somebody was going to raise hell and come up and want to find them or throw them out of the place because they were smoking a cigarette? I mean, it gets ridiculous sometimes. And the fact that they were smoking weed, the fact that somebody saw them lighting up anything, if they're not allowed to smoke there, then they should have been stopped. So this brings me right back to what I was saying about the weed. So would it be okay to smoke weed in an apartment with no cigarettes? What? So maybe you can have a certain, I forget the amount of weed that's legal, but it's a pretty good size, you know, that you can have, but you can't smoke it. You know, so where are you going to be able to smoke it? But yet you can have it. So if you're going to push to make one thing illegal, why not just push it straight across the board? So now you're going to tell me we're coming into a society where there are going to be venues where you can smoke marijuana, where you can smoke weed, but be done if you can light up a cigarette. That is to say, you can go home or go places, and you can get your family, you can get children on a contact high. You can do that. You can affect their vision. You can do all the things that we can do. Get them glazed over eyeballs. Hell, you could even get them hungry. But get your children contact high day in, day out, or people contact high. But God forbid if you smoke a cigarette. So that's one of the ridiculousnesses of the thing. I said it funny like that because I intend to. That was the ridiculousness. So anyway, that's it for this time. I'm going to shoot for another scheduled time on another Thursday night again. I haven't done this in so long on a scheduled time. But anyway, if there were any listeners out there, I want to thank any listeners. You have been listening to Shut Up and Listen. I have been your host, The Voice. And until next Thursday at the same time, unless I decide to do another one before then, just look on Blog Talk Radio, Shut Up and Listen, and you can find me. I may do something at any time, but other than that, my scheduled time is on 11 o'clock on Thursday nights. So to all listeners anywhere, I bid you all a nice evening and an even nicer tomorrow.